So Jason Webley is in San Francisco, and he goes back to his friend Chicken John's house. And Chicken shows Jason this beautiful leather scrapbook rescued from the garbage.
And he shows this to me, and sure enough, it's a woman born in 1906 in my town of Everett, Washington. But her name is Margaret Rucker. And I'm like, Chicken, like, I'm pretty sure I was standing on this woman's grave 36 hours ago.
Okay, so before heading to San Francisco, Jason was in Everett showing his friend Amanda, who was visiting from out of town, all the local sights.
So Amanda comes and visits, and one day we're driving around, and somehow she's being perceptive in a different way, and she notices, like we're driving on Rucker Avenue. We go to visit my friend Sarah Schmidt, who lives up in the neighborhood called Rucker Hill. Sarah mentions something about the Rucker Mansion, which is around the corner from her house. And we're driving back down the street. We pass, there's this big building, the Rucker Building, and then we're on Rucker Avenue again. And Amanda's like, what's the deal with like Rucker? Like, who are the Ruckers? And I just never thought about it. I was like, that's just, one of those names that streets are. Like, doesn't every town have a Rucker Avenue? I don't know. But then I thought about it a bit more. I was like, actually, there is something. Do you want to see something kind of cool?
So Jason and Amanda trek to Everett's old cemetery, where a lot of the city fathers and mothers are buried.
It's a huge cemetery, but the old part of it is this really hilly area with all the old graves. And there's the old entrance, which is much cooler. And we go in that way. And as you go up the hill, like up at the top, there's this thing. Like it's like a 35, 40-foot tall granite step pyramid. And it's like time stained, dark. It's almost black. It's just really ominous. It's undecorated. It looks like it should be in the jungles of Guatemala. And it's not just kind of big. Like, if you took all the other graves in that part of the cemetery and stacked them up in a pile, it would still dwarf them. Like, I mean, it's just gigantic. And the only adornment on it is across the front is the name Rucker.
This imposing monument is the Rucker family mausoleum. Margaret Rucker, the woman in the journal, obviously came from a pretty important family. She was the daughter of one of Everett's founders. Margaret went to the University of Washington. She liked to write poetry. She got married and had two children, one of whom would later create the leather scrapbook. And her life took some dark turns, too. She was in a terrible car accident, and years later, her husband committed suicide. Jason Webley says here's how the press reported that. If you want to skip it, you can tune out for about 30 seconds.
The story was that they were sitting and chatting after dinner, and he excused himself, walked out of the room, came back, sat down again, continued drinking his coffee, and then out of nowhere, produced a gun and shot himself in the head. About 10 years later, she moved out to Palm Springs. Her death certificate makes it pretty clear that she died of an overdose of sleeping pills or something. There's all these mysteries of like, we don't know anything about what kind of person she was. Like, even there's like none of her writings other than these poems survive. So we don't get a sense of who she was really at all. And those poems were all from when she was like 19 or 20 years old. So I, in a way, like, yeah, she kind of becomes a blank canvas.
So, like his friend Chicken John before him, Jason got a little obsessed with filling in the gaps of Margaret's life. He did research online and he took a copy of the book to the Everett Public Library's historian. And it seemed like everybody he showed it to got sucked into the mystery too.
People's interest in it was interesting to me. When I took it to like the Everett historian and he got all wide-eyed and like so excited, and as other people came in, he's like, come take a look at this. I guess, yeah, some part of me wanted to do something with it, but I just didn't know what that looked like.
Jason is an artist, and so as he fixated on Margaret's life story, an idea began to take shape to tell her story through music. He got other musicians to contribute original songs, using the scrapbook and Margaret's poems as inspiration. And then on April 11th, 2014, in the historic Everett Theater, Jason and his friends, including Chicken John, put on a show to a packed house. It was simply called Margaret.
Each person wrote like one or two songs. You had these different musicians kind of adding these, like, you know, different colors of light, in a way, I would say, to the picture. For me, the most powerful song was right after revealing the husband's suicide. Zach Pennington, who is from Everett, but he wrote this really shockingly direct song about the suicide and reckoning with that, that happened right after that moment.
Soak up the blood from the carpet, wash what's left of his head, but who's gonna tend to you, Margaret?
I wrote a song called Pyramid, which is, for me, kind of the beginning point of this whole thing.
Tell me, Margaret, when I'm gone, what will I want to be left at the bottom of a garbage bin, dusted off and pulled up onto stage? Will it please me when someone lights a candle and says my name? Will I say, leave me in my pyramid, blow out the flame and close the lid? This story's done, why can't we turn the page?
I think about, like, you know, being a young girl growing up in a town where, like, a street is named after you and buildings are named after you and everybody knows your name, and up above the town on this hill is this giant mausoleum with your name on it, in which you're supposed to eventually be entombed. Like, the song kind of looks at that, and also looks at, you know, the question of, you know, like, what would I think if 100 years from now somebody stumbled upon a little slice of my life, made a giant projection of it, and went around singing about it in front of hundreds and thousands of people. I think all of us want to be part of a good story.
Will it please me when someone lights a candle and says my name?
At the bottom of the garbage.
Will it please me when someone lights a candle and says my name?
At the bottom of the garbage.
And afterwards, I'd say most of the audience, more than half, made the 2-mile walk with us to the pyramid, and we took candles and lit it up, and yeah, it felt really like a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Will it please me when someone lights a candle, says my name?
You can try to engineer how you will be remembered. You can try to, like, create a legacy. You can buy the biggest tombstone. You can, you know, give money to the right people so you get a street named after you. But what does that, any of that stuff really do? The stuff you can actually muscle into existence. Like, I'd love to be remembered in a way that, or to be a part, a little, like a little piece of thread that holds together some kind of really cool story and that keeps evolving and changing.
To me, I see the eyes of Margaret. I see the eyes of Margaret. When morning comes around, and when she comes near me, I see the eyes of Margaret.
was near her and I seen the sound. Pen and letter faded and died. Promises broken or changed the tide. Someone singing her song. Hey.